Coming up on the Sarlacc Pit podcast, Star Wars Episode 7 in 35mm. We also give you our impressions of the Black Series 6-inch figures. We got some rumors of the Emperor and Obi-Wan coming back as Force Ghosts. And we also take your voicemails as well. We also talk about our favorite R2-D2 moment. Hey, and does R2-D2 have the Force? Things that make you go, coming up on this episode of the Sarlacc Pit podcast. And it starts right now.
We just got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful Pleiades.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All-powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us. And binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yoda'sNews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts Matt Krenke and Chris Hoffice Planet for this round of discussions.
Welcome back, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit podcast, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yoda'sNews.com. And we thank them for their support of the podcast. This is episode number 67 for August 23rd, 2013. I am your co-host and moderator for the show, Matt the Crankster Krenke. And on the other side of the mic, he's walking in Memphis, walking with his feet 10 feet off a Beale and a 6-inch Black Series Sand Trooper in his hand. It's my buddy Chris Smith. What's up, my friend? I always want to put that Beale Street into this, man.
That's original. All right, I like that, yeah.
I must have heard that song earlier. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard it a couple times.
Hey, man, we got a good show. We're going to talk about, tons of news. And our topic today, we're going to be talking about our favorite moments of that big bucket of bolts, R2-D2. We're going to do that in just a few minutes here. But we got to introduce our guest for the show. He actually joined us in episode 46 when we did some trivia, Chris, way back on episode 46. And he's got a big presence in the Star Wars community. And he's also from California, like myself. Jesse Ariano has joined us. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thank you for having me again. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. It's been a little while, huh? A little while.
Yeah. Year after I got whooped by them two other fellas.
Hey, those guys are tough, man. Yeah. Those guys are tough. Chris knows. He's battled them guys before. Those Wampa Lair guys. Oh,
they've
Hey, so just you're also kind of, you know, like I said, you're big in the Star Wars community. I noticed that you've been doing some stuff with Joe Mignano, right? Some of his costuming stuff. Have you been with him or helping him out with some charity stuff?
No, actually, I am part of a member of the Inland Empire Fan Force, and we're like a non-customizing group, and we just kind of spread the word out for Star Wars, and we kind of help out the libraries here in California. And last year, I told Joe if he wanted to bring the TDE over and for an event called Star Wars Fan Days in Rancho Cucamonga at the Paul Biana Library. Mm-hmm. So last year and this year he's been joining us, and I think in the next future events he'll be with us also. But it's just to raise money for a children's hospital and the library also, and just help out and get back to the community.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Kind of like the 501st and
exactly.
Rebel. Yeah, that's good. Good stuff. Well, that's cool. Great. It's good to have you back. Like I said, you know, we're going to get your take on some of the Star Wars news and notes that have been going around the last few weeks since we last met, Chris. Let's start off with some news that hit yesterday. And it's kind of big news, you know. Star Wars, they just announced that the new Star Wars will be shot in 35mm as opposed to the digital that was shot with Episode 2 and 3 and a lot of stuff that's being shot today. And it was confirmed by Dan Mindell. He's going to be the director of photography for this next series, or episode 7. And it kind of hit the internet kind of big, like, wow, you know, this is interesting. It's going back to the days of the original trilogy, Chris, and the Phantom Menace, which was shot on regular film and not digital. And it kind of makes me think that it's not going to be in 3D now, because I don't know that they can do, well, at least not native 3D like they do with a lot of the big movies out now. So this is interesting stuff. You know, J.J. Abrams is really changing up a lot of things here, Chris, and this is one of those things. And it makes you think that they're going to go back, like you said earlier, Chris, that they're going to go back to using some real sets, some practical stuff intermixed with some CGI. And I know this is news to you. You didn't even hear this, right, Chris?
No, I didn't. I've been so busy with other things, I just haven't had the chance to see it. But now that I hear that, I'm like, that sounds awesome. I like that idea, because I think JJ and them had already mentioned that they wanted to do a really good mix of CG and practical on the set type things. I think when it comes to Star Wars, I think on the set practical things are what it's about.
Right.
I mean, we saw all that with the original trilogy. We saw some of it with The Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. It's kind of starting to change things over. I just think it's movies are much better with practical on the set type things. Mm-hmm. More they could do that way, I think the better the film is. But that's just, you know, my opinion.
Well, I think, you know, The Phantom Menace still holds up as far as the way it looks and everything. I think it looks great. And this shift in going back to that is like I said, it's an interesting thing, you know. And Jesse, they even talked about ILM has been kind of building up. Apparently, they're building up their model shop and stuff like that, because they're going to go kind of back to their roots. So what do you think about Star Wars going back to its roots and filming on regular film now as opposed to digital? You think that's a good thing?
You know what? How can I say this? You know, people are going to probably want to beat me up for this, but I'm really tired of all the digital movies and digital this, digital that. I would love to see this film in 35 millimeter, just to give that home vintage feel. You know,
right.
That home away from home where you can go and actually watch a movie the way, in my opinion, it should be. I would love to see the homemade models and put together again, because that's what Star Wars is.
Yeah.
To me. I mean, digital is cool and all that, but, you know, after having the Avengers, Iron Man, everything's pretty 90% digital. And to me, sometimes it kind of gets boring at it, and it's like, you know, I wish they can do it with the 35 millimeter. But J.J. Abrams knows what he's doing. He is a Star Wars fan, and I trust him.
Yeah, I know. It's digital has really progressed. I mean, you know, Lucas has been the innovator of stuff, you know, when it comes to THX, and he wanted all his theaters to have the THX sound, and then shooting on digital to make it better for effects work. But I like what you said, Jesse. Let's just go back to this vintage feel to it. You know, let's go back to the days of the OT and give it that cool feel. And I think Abrams is really embracing that, and it's kind of refreshing. Like, wow, this is cool. You know, this is really going back, and I love what he's doing now about how he's keeping things kind of tight-lipped about spoilers and going back to the old school way of filming. This is cool for me. I'm loving this.
Like the other day, I was watching Empire with my son, and I'm just like thinking to myself, I'm like, man, okay, this is a puppet. A man was moving him around, talking for him, and I'm like, but it's so lifelike.
Yeah.
Compared to digital, you're just like, there's no human emotion into it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes sense, but when you go ahead with the puppet, you have someone behind that character giving them life, giving them air through his lungs. It makes you more believable that this person is alive.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. Kind of looking forward to see on how this turns out and if they use the more practical effects and miniatures and things like that. That'd be really cool. Some more news or rumors. Let's call them rumors, Chris. So this is pretty wild. I mean, there's been a lot of speculation over the last week or so about the Emperor and Obi-Wan coming back to Episode 7, not as Force Ghost, not necessarily the Emperor, but definitely Obi-Wan coming back as a Force Ghost. But you know what, Chris? It kind of opens up, when you're talking about Episode 7, everything. I mean, couldn't a lot of people come back as Force Ghosts? Couldn't you have Qui-Gon? Couldn't you have Anakin? Wow, can you imagine Hayden coming in to reprise his role as a Force Ghost? Of course, Obi-Wan. The Emperor is the other big one that's been going around. But I don't know about a Force Ghost. And this has been a contention with fans. It's like, wait a minute. You know, I thought that the Force Ghost was a Jedi thing. How is he going to come back as a Force Ghost? Well, this has been talked about over some podcasts and over the internet. I kind of agree with the Emperor part is maybe it's a holocron. And we've seen holocrons used before in the EU to where someone could find a holocron of all the teachings of the Emperor. And, you know, maybe that spouts up in some kind of a hologram or a ghost or something. Not necessarily a Force ghost, but a hologram, right? And he can teach this new threat to the Jedi or whatever it is. Let's just say that. So I can kind of go along with that. And then as far as the other Force ghosts, I mean, geez. I mean, if you're going to say Obi-Wan can come back, then why can't all these Jedi come back? Especially Qui-Gon or Anakin or someone like that. So what do you think, Chris, of all these... these rumors about Force ghosts, I mean, you think any of these are even possible?
When I first heard that about the Emperor, I was like, no. No. The only thing that could work for me is holocron, like you said. And I thought the same thing. Well, isn't a Force ghost a Jedi trait? Now, we've had in the EU where, like you said, the holocron, we had that in a little bit of the Clone Wars, where they could pull up all these teachings. That's how Luke found a holocron from Yoda, which gave him the entire history of the Jedi. And we know the Sith can communicate with each other as well. It's a little different. Mm-hmm. They go to the EU and find those sources and figure out exactly how they did it. They could come up with something that would be logical, make sense, and possibly... bring that back in here, and I could see Obi-Wan coming in as a little small Force ghost like he was, or his boy, same thing with Qui-Gon. But when I hear all this and all these all these characters that we've had in the other movies coming up in this one, I'm thinking, oh my God, these people are taking it way too far. But I think it's just the internet's running wild, and they're just throwing all these rumors out there, and like we've said before, take it with a grain of salt. Until we official announcement,
yeah.
I'm trying not to worry about it, even though the Emperor thing kind of threw me when I saw that. I was like,
yeah, I know. It's crazy. I mean, every week it seems like we get another news rumor. And this was actually reported by, I think it was El Mahembe, who's been in the news a lot about trying to break stories. You know, Harrison Ford coming back, and now this the Emperor and the Force Ghost. And so, Jesse, I don't know, what's your feeling on having these guys come back? I mean, are we going to get too much of this, of the original cast coming back? I mean, geez, it seems like we have the whole OT coming back now, you know what I mean?
Kidding.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with Chris because, I mean, I just think it's rumors going crazy. Star Wars is going to be coming on 2015, mm-hmm. and I just think everyone's throwing everything out there to spark everything up. But it would be cool to see maybe a holocron just being passed around because, you know, honestly, I don't know what the new movie's going to be about. No one does. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to start bringing out Force Ghost this, Force Ghost that, I think you're just going to throw them the whole movie in a loop and just change storylines of Star Wars, I would say. I mean, I would stick with the holocron maybe for a few seconds. Like, oh, my God, was that Obi-Wan?
Mm-hmm.
Was that Palpatine? Yeah. I mean, nothing where they're going to be in the movie for like a good 20, 15 minutes. You know, bring them out for maybe 30 seconds. You know, I'll be good with that. But other than that, let's just keep it plain and simple. You know, Vader's gone. He can't come back.
Right.
And kabish.
Yeah, I'm just so interested to see how they're going to do a Star Wars movie if they don't bring back a Sith or Sith, a plural, you know, if they don't do that, I'm really interested to how they're gonna do that. Chris, you had another rumor coming around too.
Yeah, but you know, we talk about rumors, and here you heard it first, right here. Jar Jar Binks' great great grandson will be trained as a Jedi Knight.
What? You just made that up, didn't you?
See how easy it is to do a rumor? Come on.
His great grandson.
I just started looking that up on my phone. Thanks a lot.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you know.
Did you see that? Jar Jar Binks, great-great-grandson.
You almost had me there for a second there. I'm like, come on, wait. This is,
see how easy that is?
Yeah. Let's start spreading that on the internet. All right.
I'm going to talk to Mark. We're going to throw that up tonight. Let's see what happens.
Used to be a Jedi. Yeah, really. well, you know, there's another one, too, about, they talked about, not a rumor, but It was speculated that Celebration 7 or Celebration Anaheim was going to go get pushed back to. No, it wasn't that. It was the movie that was going to get pushed back to December. You guys hear that one as well?
No, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, they talked about Episode 7 getting pushed back to a December release date. And that's kind of been kind of debunked because I think they talked about it in, I think it was Celebration Europe, about it was going to be a summer release. They were talking about Star Wars. And then you also have Celebration Anaheim going on in April. And I just think that date, April in 2015, they picked that date for a reason because it was going to be real close to the release date of Episode 7, and the media machine, the media hype is going to be going nuts at Celebration Anaheim. I'm telling you right now, this is going to be the biggest celebration ever. This thing is going to be packed. You're going to get fans and non-fans alike because this machine is going to be so hyped by this time. 2015 April, I mean, it's going to be going crazy. Jess, I know you're psyched about Celebration Anaheim because it's kind of right around the door for you, right?
Oh, yeah. Anaheim's like good. Maybe 20, 30 minutes away from me. So I am just pumped. I'm already requesting my time off. I haven't put it in yet, but I'm going to take the week off and just bum around. And when the time comes, just hang out over there. And just, I mean, my friends are going and you guys are going, so I get to meet you guys.
Oh,
and,
yeah, we'll be there.
I'm going to go 2 days by myself. And Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be my wife and son. So I'm just going to have a blast, and I just can't wait. I can't wait for Episode 7. Maybe they may show a trailer.
Yeah.
Any news? I'm just pumped. I'm excited.
You're going to have to build your shed, your backyard, and put some bunks in there, and then you can rent it out.
There you go. Exactly.
Make your money, and you go to the show for free.
You guys need a room? No.
You know, we talked a little bit about this on the last episode, Matt, and... Yeah. Some of the guys were talking about, okay, well, if this comes out in April and then the movie comes out in May. Well, look, Celebration 1 took place at the last couple of days of March. It's like March 30th and 31st, and then May 1st and 2nd. Mm-hmm. That was when it took place, and then, of course, the movie opened 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. And people talk about, well, maybe we'll get a trailer. I think we'll have a trailer way before.
Oh, yeah. No, and you're right, yeah.
I might get a new trailer.
Yeah, that's an exclusive trailer, maybe.
And we're talking about, like, the name of the movie. Yeah, they might hold that. I don't know. I think we'll get all of that sometime next year. And like you said, by the time we get to that, it'll be just full bore, pumped, everything revved up to a fever pitch 2 months before.
Yeah.
And then they do no wrong after that, probably.
Oh, no, and the possibility of having... You know, actors and, you know, even JJ for a panel or, you know, obviously a lot of the crew and, like you said, an exclusive look. I guarantee you they got to have some kind of an exclusive look at Episode 7. Celebration just before Episode 3 came out? Was that Celebration 4, I think? 3 or 4, anyway. I could have sworn they premiered a special clip. I don't know if it was 1 or 2 minutes, and it was basically like a heartbeat, and it was showing just flashes of clips, and they would show like Yoda getting thrown to the wall in the Palpatine's office. I remember seeing that on the internet because somebody had taped it, you know, on their video camera, and they threw it up on the internet. And I remember watching that, and I believe it was an exclusive. I wish I can confirm that, but yeah. They've got to have something like that. I mean, you're talking Celebration, a new movie coming out. You know, like I said, the excitement for this is going to be at a fever pitch, and I think we're going to get some kind of special look at Episode 7. So
I think we will. Yeah. Besides, at that point, the movie should be pretty much completely done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like you said, J.J. Abrams, we could get some people like that, some of the actors. Of course, they won't be able to say anything probably, but...
No.
But have them there. They get to talk to them about their experience and this, that, and the other, and it'll just be like, oh, man, fever pitch. Mm-hmm. This will be the event of the century, I think.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be big. This is going to be real big. And
don't miss this one. So this will definitely be a big one.
Yeah. Don't want to miss Celebration Anaheim. I'll tell you that right now. Hey, I wanted to switch gears and talk a little collecting, Chris, just real quick. We both, our last episode, case of Black Series 6-inch was being delivered the next day. Got it the next day, threw some pictures up, opened it up, and I tell you what, for any collector that's on the fence about these, and I have heard some people think that they're just okay, they're not the greatest, but I'll tell you what, I'm so happy that I pre-ordered this. I'm on board with this 100%. Fantastic collectible and a fantastic figures. They're doing it right for me. I mean, for the series is four characters. I can budget this, you know. Another series won't be coming out till was it October or November, so I can, you know, I can save up for that. I mean, they're just doing this thing so right for me. And those of you who are on some kind of collecting budget, this is perfect. And I tell you what, the figures are fantastic. I finally pulled out that. You know, here's the biggest thing, Chris, and any listeners out there who collect, you probably know what I'm thinking right here, is like, I got them in the mail, right? And I pull them out and I just lay them out in front of me, and I'm just looking at them going, do I open them or do I leave them in? Do I open them or do I leave them in? And I, you know, Chris, I was fretting over this for like a day. Because you know how, you know, it's just like those of us who would like to have mint on card or mint on box, we just, it's so hard to break that seal and pull those figures out. But I caved in. I said, you know what, I'll buy another Sand Trooper, pop that thing out. I know you got a couple, Chris, and you kind of feel like I do, right? You're on board with these. Huh?
Oh, yes, I have. Right now I've got the Boba Fett Han and Carbonite exclusive.
I'm still jealous of that.
Jazz picked that up for me at Celebration Europe, and so I got that, and I got the Sand Trooper. I'm still waiting on my case to show up, so I picked up a Sand Trooper at work. Mm. And like you said, they are just absolutely fantastic. The Boba Fett is just, they knocked it out of the park. The only negative on the Boba Fett that I could even find, uh-huh, was his little scope at the top of his helmet doesn't swivel down, up or down, or backwards, or anything like that. It's stationary. Mm-hmm. That's the only mistake in my mind that they made. And I've gotten a good look at the figures by being at work, but of course, the Sand Trooper is the only one that I've gotten and opened so far. And that was just fantastic. You got three blasters with it. I mean, just so much detail, so much articulation. The only other one that I saw that I thought was kind of a drawback is the R2-D2. The way our Target has worked, we got, mm-hmm, a case in, sold three of them out the door the first day, R2 sitting there. The second case came in, sold three of them, R2 sitting there.
Yeah.
The third case came in, sold three of them. Now we got three R2 sitting there. I think what the problem is with that one is people are looking at it thinking, I don't think that R2 is worth $20.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to open it or get really look. I know it's got a lot of gadgets with it.
It does, yeah. Yeah.
I was telling Scoot this. I said, you know what, Scoot? I think they kind of dropped the ball. They should have put the drink tray in with this.
Mm-hmm.
If they had given that drink tray piece, that would have been over the top, making it, you know, worth $20.
Right.
But, you know, we've heard this from Hasbro before in the past, that they balance out a wave, not each figure, but these four figures are balanced out together as a whole wave as cost effective. So one figure might not have as much to it, another figure might have more to it. So, mm-hmm, it's just one of those things. But like I said, I can't wait to get the R2 and open it myself. So as soon, yeah, as I get that case in, I'm going to dig into all of them. So.
Yeah, that Sand Trooper is so good. I mean, the weathering on it is perfect. It's all sandy. It's really cool. And the wave, the way they're doing the waves, it works. I mean, the next wave has got some great figures. Han Solo, Greedo, Slave Leia. I mean, come on. These are great stuff. So.
And Boba Fett.
And the Boba Fett, yeah. Without the carbonite. Fett,
the weathering, the dent in his helmet, everything is spot on, looks fantastic. They did an awesome job on the detailing of these figures.
Yeah, definitely. Chris, Jesse, are you a collector at all?
Oh, yeah, but I haven't got those at my certain store. I don't want to mention any names, but I have to
Target.
Say I'm Target.
Yeah.
You know, I did see them at this show that I go to. It's called Frankincense here in Southern California. And I seen them, and they are so amazing, so lifelike, but I wasn't going to fork over $30, you know, for one. I'll just wait until Target gets them so I can get them at a lower price. But they are so, so so amazing, and I can't wait to get the Boba Fett and the Stormtrooper one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
They look really, really nice, and I say fork over the cash, buy one, and just have fun with it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I wouldn't, like you said, I wouldn't pay over the retail price, and I know that the exclusive right now is even on like toy sites and stuff, they're starting at like $139, $140 for the exclusive Boba Fett. It's just like, wow, that's, I'd love to have it, but I just can't do that. I mean, I could buy almost two waves of this series, you know, for that. And like you said, Chris, they got a Boba Fett coming out. It's not coming with the Carbonite, but you're still getting that same figure. And I'll keep looking around, you know, there's still eBay, and who knows, maybe someday you can snatch one up.
Yeah, since I've got it and I opened it up, and I actually did a review today, which will be up on Yoda's News hopefully in the next few days.
Cool. Yeah.
Now, I did a review on this, and my personal opinion at Celebration, it was $45 for Han Han and Carbonite and Boba Fett, and then it was a little more expensive at Celebration Europe. I think it was £55 over there, which was like $63 for us.
Right.
So, my honest opinion, the Han and Carbonite is really nice, great detail. It's not heavy at all. It feels hollow, but it's a solid piece. I just don't think that thing is worth people spending more than maybe $80 max.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid $90 for mine with shipping and everything. I would say, my personal opinion, I wouldn't go over $90. But mm-hmm. I know some people have money to spend, and they want it really badly. If it's worth it to you, that's fine. But my personal opinion is,
I'd rather wait.
Would spend more than $90.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those that it is kind of rare. I mean, and even this first wave, Chris, is not hitting the shelves like gangbusters. You know, I mean, there's just, like you said, there's just a one set, and it's gone. And I don't know. We were talking about this. You know, is this Hasbro kind of like putting the feelers out, like, you know, is this going to work, or is this the retailers going, you know, this is kind of an expensive toy, do we want to, you know, fill our store with this? Or so it's an interesting how they're, you know, they're kind of just putting it out there, just like, is this going to sell or not? And then these things are selling out like really fast, you know. They're going.
Matt, have you seen many of them in your area?
No, I did find some at one Target. They only had two, though. All they had was the Luke and the R2, like you said, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was, there's nothing. Walmart's nothing. Toys R Us, nothing. The other Target around where I live, gone. So these are not something that you're just going to walk into any store, at least not right now.
Yeah.
And just go, oh, here's wave one. I got it, you know. So
yeah, around here, I haven't even been to our Toys R Us because I've got to where I just hate going into Toys R Us. But like I said, our Target is getting one case at a time. I think it's still that they're still coming slowly from Hasbro. They, sent out they're trickling in. Now, I've been to three or four Walmarts, and none of them, this was a little over a week ago, so I haven't been in the last few days. I'll be this weekend. I'll stop in a few and check again, but they hadn't even had their new sets yet. I went into one, and they had a few of the 3 3/4-inch Black Series, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, but they had nothing else. They didn't even have their new set. And I was like, why is Walmart so far behind on this? Target's already starting to shift theirs. But I will tell you this, though, is Target, they have made a huge mistake because we still have the Vintage Collection line in our system. And that's what the 3 3/4-inch Black Series is coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Both is the same thing. So when you walk into like my Target and we still have Vintage figures sitting on the peg, that's why. Mm-hmm. We're not getting any 3 3/4 Black Series until those sell.
Okay.
So if you go into your Target and you see Vintage figures, odds are you're not going to see any 3 3/4 until those are gone.
Okay.
No way. There's nothing at this Target.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
I mean, really dropped it on that one.
Yeah.
Hasbro's going to have to come in and try and fix that, I think.
So, yeah, if you find these out there and you're on the fence, I tell you what, you won't be disappointed. Really great figures for the collector. These things are going to be fantastic laid out. You know, I got a plan to put these out on shelves or somehow in my Star Wars room. And just a great collectible. And like you said, we were talking about this earlier, Chris, you can actually put these back in the box. So you're not going to, you don't necessarily have to tear the box to get these out like you would a 3¾-inch, you know. This is something that you could, it's almost like a sideshow type thing where you can take it out, display it, and then when you're ready to switch it up or whatever, you can put them back in. So you're not going to ruin the box by opening these up. So, but good stuff, though. Good stuff for the Black Series. On board with that. Hey, I've got a new segment. Not necessarily a new segment, Chris, but I'm changing it up today. And this is called Things That Make You Go, So here's what I had in mind for this week. I'll tell you what, and this is, we've kind of talked about this before, where I see the movie and something triggers in my head, like you can look at a scene differently. And previously we talked about Admiral Ozzel being a rebel spy. I think I also talked about Vader one time when he blocked the lightsaber from Luke when he was going to strike down the Emperor in Return of the Jedi. Is I always thought, you know, could that have been Darth Vader or Anakin coming through and saving Luke from turning to the dark side? So sometimes I think about this and I go, And today is coming, since we're going to talk about R2 today, Chris, okay. I decided to give you one about R2. And I'm going to take you back to Star Wars. I want you to listen to this real quick clip. And as you're listening to this, try to... As Star Wars fans, we do this. We listen to a clip. We can visualize what's going on. So let's. I'm going to take you through this real quick here.
All right, come on. And the red one. Come on. Well, come on, Red. Let's go.
Come on, Red. Watch.
Okay, now here's where I'm coming from. Now I got to remind everybody that I was 6 or 7 years old when I saw Star Wars for the first time, and once it came out on video a few years later, I watched it hundreds and hundreds of times, and this scene has always made me think there's something up with R2-D2, and I'll tell you why. Now, it's pretty much known that R2 has some ability to sense things as they come around. You know, he knew when the Tusken Raiders were coming, so he's not just your typical robot. He has ways, or he has, I don't know, some other abilities. And I'm not going to go as far as to say he's got a force ability. But every time I watch that scene, and you see that he's not chosen by Owen, and he starts wiggling like, wait a minute, you know, my mission is to get to Ben, and it's going to be through Luke. Okay, and he starts wobbling, and all of a sudden, I think it's R5-D4, he starts rolling away, and then out of nowhere, R5-D4 explodes. And the way they shot this, it always occurred in my head, like, did R2-D2 have something to do with R5-D4 exploding? I mean, did he throw something in the airways that made R5-D4 explode? Now, obviously, I don't think that's what they were going for, but, and you know, the Jawas, they deal on all this shoddy merchandise. Let's tell it like it is here with the Jawas here. But it's one of those scenes that always made me go, did R2-D2 have anything to do with R5-D4 exploding? What do you think, Chris? Am I off my rocker here?
No.
You ever thought about that when you were a kid? Just the way they filmed it almost makes you think they're trying to tell you that R2 had something to do with him exploding. I don't know.
I heard this somewhere, and to be honest, I can't
remember
where. I don't remember if it was in the actual novel, if it was the radio drama, or if it was like the comic book series, the original comic book series. But I want to say it was the radio drama. if we go back and listen to it, there's a piece where 3PO's like, R2, what are you doing with that droid over there? Leave that droid alone or something or other.
Oh, okay.
Sub it. So, yeah, even as a kid, I always thought, I guess at birth I thought, well, that was lucky. But then after a little while, you're like, huh, wait, what? Wait a minute.
It's just kind of too convenient, huh? It's just like, yeah, huh. Jesse has a feeling on this too, huh? You read about this?
Yeah, I read. I think it was a while back. I think it was on Wikipedia that R2 actually did mess R5 up in order for him to blow out and for him to get picked. So R2's a little tricky guy. So, I mean, cool little dude, but I wouldn't trust this guy. If he has to get something done, he'll have to get it done somehow.
He was covering his bases, that's all.
Yeah. Just look the other way. R2 will do it.
Great. I'm going to have to think of some, though. Discuss on this little thing.
Yeah, I know. It's just like I said, there's times that I watched the movie, and I've said earlier there's been more than just that, and this is one of those ones that stuck around as a kid. And just the way R2 is acting, the way he's hobbling, and then he stays there and he waits, and it's just one of those things that make you go, Yes, it does. All right, I love that. Anyway, bonus points for anybody who knows who's singing that song. Anyway, take it back to the 90s. Chris, we got actually a couple of voicemails we wanted to feature on today's episode, right?
Yeah, we do, and actually with our topic of R2-D2, one of them fits in perfectly. So,
it does, yeah, yeah. You know,
we have two of them, and I'm going to play the first one. Right now, this one is 28 seconds long.
Hello, this is C-3PO with a message for Masters Chris Hoth Ice Planet and the Krangster. Such odd names. Anyway, Master Luke has asked me to send you his warmest regards for producing such a wonderful audio transmission. R2 tells me he enjoys it also. Personally, I can't wait to discover just exactly what I'll be doing in Episode 7. Well done, sirs, and may the Force be with you.
All right. That was awesome. C-3PO. Wow. He gave us a voicemail. That's incredible. You know, I went back and I looked in because I wanted to email the guy and just thank him for that. And he didn't leave any email address or we don't know who it is. It just came from C-3PO. That was on the SpeakPipe transmission.
See,
so
I have an idea who it is. But
you
I'm not going to say on the show.
I wonder if it's who I think it is from somebody from UK. Am I on the right track?
I think so. Yeah.
I wonder. Interesting. We'll have to find out. But whoever, if it is you or not, hey, we thank you for calling in and letting us know. Kind words. We appreciate it. And we hope you keep on enjoying the Sarlacc Pit. We got another one too, Chris. I think a fairly new listener as well too, right?
Yes. This one is from a Brandon Fletcher.
Hello, Matt and Chris. This is Brandon Fletcher from Canada, also known as TK11993 for the 501st Legion. I recently found your podcast. I'm not even sure how I did, but I've become quite fond of it. I've gone back and listened to all your episodes, and it is great Star Wars conversation. In fact, I was one of those guys who never really cared to watch the Clone Wars before because something about the cartoony feel didn't really do it for me. And after listening to you guys, you made me want to watch it, and I am glad I did. It is very good. So you guys turned me on to the Clone Wars, and I thank you for that. Goodbye.
Cool. Hey, we got someone to watch some Clone Wars. All right, we're doing something right.
Yeah, that is fantastic because, you know, we talked about it. Of course, me and you, we loved it from the beginning. But
oh, yeah.
It really was. They were just getting their feet wet at the beginning. Yeah. Just evolved so far. And I'm glad that he gave it a second chance after, I guess, listening to us harp on it, you know, and how much we loved it and everything. So that's
awesome.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, it is awesome. Brandon, good stuff. Thank you again for sending the voicemail, and don't hesitate to do it again. If you have any questions or you have a comment on the show or anybody out there, just do that. And Brandon, he's also part of the 501st, it sounds like. So we're brothers in the 501st. And I'm glad you got you on the Clone Wars. A great show. We're kind of sad it's gone, but we got a new one coming around in 2014 that should step up to the plate and take over for the Clone Wars. So it sounds like you got all the way through the Clone Wars. I wonder how his it sounds like you liked it. So
and to leave us a message, go on galacticbinder.com and click on our podcast page, and right there on the right hand side you'll see it. Bam, it'll pop up. SpeakPipe.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Click on there and just leave us a message.
Yeah, and if you got anything that makes you go, hmm, send that in too. We'll play it on the show. Anything else, guys, before we hit our main topic today?
Oh, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to talk some R2-D2.
Yeah, that's like I said, we're going to talk some R2-D2. So, let's get into it.
R2-D2, Your Highness.
Thank you, R2-D2. R2-D2, a pleasure to meet you.
And this is my counterpart, R2-D2.
Don't worry, we have R2 with us.
Excuse me, sir, but that R2 unit is in prime condition, a real bargain. R2-D2, where are you?
That's right, R2, we're going to the Dagobah system. We got him, R2.
R2, do you hear me? R2, we need to be going up, not down.
Yes, that's right, folks. We're going to be talking about the lovable Bucket O-Bolts R2-D2. And we're going to talk our favorite moments spread around. It could be anything today, you know, movies, the Clone Wars, whatever. And, Chris, I have six clips. And this is to start off by saying that George Lucas has been known to describe sometimes Star Wars, the original trilogy some, and more so than the prequel trilogy, but told largely through the eyes of the droids. And this little Bucket of Bolts is in the center of many of the key events in the whole saga, and is one of the heroes of the Republic and the Rebellion, Chris. I mean, some of the stuff that he gets into and gets people out of and characters out of, he is the hero of many a movie. So I got six clips, one for each episode. I decided to do it that way. Chris, how many clips do you have?
I did the same thing. I ended up doing six, one for
each. Okay. Let's, I guess I'll start off and then we'll go to Jesse. If you got any, you can send out yours and then we'll go to Chris. I'm going to take you guys, we're going to start with the Phantom Menace. And this is when we get introduced, well, story-wise, we get introduced to R2-D2. And some of his exploits and heroism on the Republic, the Queen's ship. Check this out.
Shield generator's been hit!
Ha-woo!
Losing droids fast.
They can't get the shield generator fixed. We'll be sitting ducks.
The shields are gone.
Power's back.
That little droid did it. Bypassed the main power drive. Deflect the shields up at maximum.
I started off with R2-D2 and his heroism saving them from the blockade, and he goes out onto the ship with some other droids and they get picked off, but he stands out there brave as a droid can be, you know what I mean, and it goes to work and is able to fix the main power drive, and they're able to escape the clutches of the Trade Federation. So you know what's funny on that scene too is I didn't realize there was ducks in the Star Wars universe. Is that crazy or what? What was that all about? Ducks? All right, anyway. Well, that'll be for another show. But, the Phantom Menace, guys, R2-D2. One of my favorite moments from R2-D2 is him saving the ship as it heads through the blockade. Jesse, let's go to you. What's one of your favorite R2-D2 moments?
All right. Well, sorry, I don't have no clips, but I can pretend I'm R2, so...
Oh, yeah, no problem.
I pick the scene, beginning of Jedi, where R2 and 3PO are at the Jabba's palace, and 3PO is kind of like walking away, like, oh, no one's here, they're not going to open the door, and R2 like just bolts in. It's like what we said, mission's on, we got to do it. And he's just like, hey, okay, whatever. And then he bumps into the Gamorrean guard. And every time I see that part, and I feel like if R2 had a voice, I picture him going, hey, I'm walking here. So it's just, I love that part. You know, R2 just looking up and he's like, hey, what are you doing here? Get out of my way. So that one was one of my favorite scenes there from Jedi.
Yeah, I like that. I like the way... Well, you said it right off the bat, and it's what's so cool about R2 is the voice. I mean, it seems like you always know exactly what R2's feeling by how his beeps and his boops and his whistles. So exactly. I like how you mentioned his kind of, that's his voice, and you can always tell what's going on with him. Cool stuff. Return of the Jedi. Obviously, I'll be there at the end of this talking about my favorite R2 moment. Chris, what do you got for your
I always like that little part, too, and I love it when R2 runs into the Gamorrean guard, and then he kind of backs up, and then once he realizes it, he just jumps way back. It's like, whoa. I just love those movements.
Yeah.
When you mentioned the Clone Wars, it popped in my head. I want to do just a quick honorable mention. Don't have any audio.
Yeah.
Don't even remember the name of the actual episode. It was two different episodes. It was, first off, it was the two-part on R2-D2 when he got stolen.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So the Duel of the Droids, it was just that was just a great, fantastic episode centered around R2, and it works. And then later on, when Anakin gets trapped on that, him and Mace Windu get trapped, and R2 has to go fly back to get him. I still, to this day, every time I see that, I find it so terribly funny when he comes crashing into that room and just starts a fight with a droid to get him out of the way to try and get his message across. That Anakin's in trouble and we need to go get him. I just love his headstrongness. It's started with episode 4 and it's never gone away. I mean, it's just 3PO is the polar opposite. 3PO is a chicken. R2 is just, I don't want to necessarily say brave, but he's just like, this is what we got to do. This is my mission and this is where I'm going. And to me, it all goes back to when Princess Leia overrides his programming and makes it to where he can do whatever needs to be done to get the mission done. And ever since then, it's just been, you know, headstrong.
Right.
My number 6 is going to be, I'm going to do it the same way each episode in episode 1. I'm not even going to play the clip because it's the exact same clip you played.
Oh, is it?
Yes,
oh.
I think that's just a really cool introduction. And I love the little detail of a couple of the droids when they get hit. One of them screams off like a human, kind of,
yeah.
I love these touches that they do with it. And R2's just standing there. You say he's nervous. He's like, okay, but I got to get this done. And he gets it done and saves their butt. And then we get the announcement of who this is. This is R2-D2. So, yeah, you know, we already knew.
Yeah.
You know, that was just really cool little scene for episode 1.
Yeah, like you said, Chris, it's the intro. You know, this is for some people, if they watch this movie 1 through 6, you know, it's going to be their intro to R2. And he comes in, like you said, with a bang. I mean, he saves the day. And like you said, it's kind of neat how they kind of honor him in the ship there. You know, they ask, you know, who is this? What's his number? You know, and the Panaka looks down and goes, hey, it's R2. So we're all like, all right, cool. You know, that's R2, man. He's going to save the day many more times. I'm going to continue here with Attack of the Clones. And this one is a tough one because as you're listening to it, there's no dialogue, but you'll be able to guess. So this is obviously I think that clip was kind of broken up there. Sorry about that. This is Padme getting saved, or we're talking the droid factory here, Chris. I'm in the droid factory, episode 2, and R2-D2 is able to shut down the machines of the droid factory before they pull molten metal on Padme Amidala, who is trapped in the Crucible. So this is one of those cool scenes in Attack of the Clones where they're inside the droid factory. There's lots of stuff going on. You know, Anakin's going to town trying to get to Padme. Padme's stuck in the bowl thing there, the lava bowl or whatever you want to call that thing. And we finally get to see the first time R2 use some of these incredible gadgets he has, you know. He uses the rockets, and everybody's like, whoa, wait a second. R2, he has rockets? Where'd that come from? And uses the rockets to get over and shut down the lava before it pours over Padme. So that would be my favorite moment of R2-D2 in Attack of the Clones, him saving Padme once again. What do you think, Chris? Or no, we're on to Jesse. What do you got? Another one for RC. What do you think?
All right. Well, when I was doing this list, I was kind of like, I mean, all the things that I thought of was kind of pretty much original trilogy. So I'm probably pretty much everything's original trilogy here.
Huh?
So I went to Jedi again, and I remember when I was watching Jedi in the theater, it was kind of like, to me, it was kind of intense. I'm like, oh, wow, Luke's going to be Sarlacc food. What's going to happen next? What, is he going to die? What's going on? And then when he gives a look to R2, you're just like, oh, what is he going to do next? What's going on? He gives a little salute, and that's when the R2 opens up his dome where the saber is. But it's kind of like a quick glimpse. You didn't know what it kind of was until he does a salute. R2 launches a saber. You're like, oh, R2, you are just... You're awesome. You're just too cool. Without you, who knows what could have happened. So I'm going with that scene.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I'm going to save comments, Chris, for later on. What do you think?
So am I.
You're going to say?
Man, I like yours as well, Matt. Mine from episode 2,
mm-hmm.
little bit different. I kind of went with something that was more funny to me.
Okay.
R2, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Oh, stop that. You're going to strain something. My neck! Now, where are you taking me? Oh, this is such a drag.
Yes.
I went with that. That just... I know a lot of people thought that was just over the top and stupid, but I'm sorry. That just... It added a perfect moment of levity in that situation. And it was hilarious to me. I just found that terribly funny, that whole sequence with R2
3PO. Yeah. I think the funniest part was him dragging 3PO's head around the arena floor. That was one of the great moments and great comedy from. And R2's got a lot of actually funny moments too. I mean, he saves the day a lot of times, but he also brings a lot of levity and humor to the wars. So that's cool. I'm gonna go to Revenge of the Sith. Okay, we're on Revenge of the Sith, and some pretty cool stuff from R2. But I'm going to kind of take you to the beginning of Revenge of the Sith and this particular scene here.
Hey, you.
Now, that's better.
Stupid little astro droid. Uh-oh.
Oh, it's you. What was that all about?
Well, R2 has been...
No loose wire jokes.
Did I say anything?
No, he's trying.
I didn't say anything.
All right. So look at this. R2-D2 shows that he can handle two super battle droids and take them on with no problem. You know, I love the banter, too, between Anakin and Obi-Wan. And it's so cool to see, like, Anakin, you know, that's his buddy, you know. That's like his little... And I have to mention, too, Chris, you're talking about the Clone Wars. Definitely an honorable mention. I've drawn a blank on the episodes, but I know exactly what you're talking about. They featured, I believe, Boba Fett or was it... I think it was Boba Fett. But yeah, R2 was kind of like almost Lassie-like, you know? And through the Clone Wars and through Episode 3, this is Anakin's little buddy, you know? This is like his little pet, his little pet dog or something. And he's coming to his defense. But again, more of the ingeniousness of this little guy. He thinks, you know, he's almost kind of thinks on his rollers or whatever you want to call it. You know, he's two battle droids are coming at him, and he's able to use his rocket boosters again as he spits oil all over. And I remember that got a pretty good laugh the first time we saw this a few times in the theater. People were cheering that, you know, it's like, hey, R2, you know, he's kind of part of the team, you know, part of the battle. So that was kind of cool to see him do that, take on two super battle droids and destroy them in a great ball of fire. Jesse, you're staying in the OT, but what do you got for us?
Okay, how we talked about R2 having emotions and how he beats, you kind of get the vibe of him being happy or sad. My next favorite one is on Empire when Luke doesn't come back and Han runs off to find him. R2 scanning to see if he can pick up any other life forms. And when 3PO is like, oh, you know what, well, I'm just going to go back in, you see this, you can actually vision and hear this emotional sadness in him, like, oh, man, like, I'm looking for my master. Where is he at? And that one kind of gets me, you know, it's just like this poor little droid meets his master. So I go with that one.
Nice. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah. And I always wonder, and this is another thing that make you go, that, you know, he never had his memory erased. So How is he looking upon, how does he see Luke? And is he attached to Luke as much as he is to Anakin and looking over him?
Mm-hmm.
As much,
I was going to bring that up too.
Without him actually telling him anything, so yeah. But my next one, of course, is Revenge of the Sith, the same as yours. Little bit different spot.
We don't want to get out. We want to get moving. R2, activate elevator
3-1-1-1-7-4. Come in, R2.
What that?
R2, do you copy it? R2, activate the elevator number
3-1-1-7-4.
Get back to work. That nothing.
We lost something. Not to worry. We are still flying half a ship.
Nice. You're kind of in the same area.
Yeah, it's kind of the same area. I love that part. It cracks me up so much when Obi-Wan, and he's trying to keep quiet, and Obi-Wan keeps talking to him, and so he just pulls it into his dome.
Get
the muffled sound. And that other part there, when they're coming down, crashing, and landing, he does that, uh-oh, and it sounds so human.
Oh, yeah.
Just cracks me up, and Anakin's line is, we lost something. I'm like, yeah, you lost half the ship.
Yeah, no, that was, again, like I was saying, it's just that whole scene with him. It was like everybody was just like cheering and laughing. And like you said, he was like almost, you know, he's like a dog, and then sometimes he acts like almost like babyish, you know. And it was cool to see him try to muffle the voice. And he's like, you know, if he could say anything, he was probably saying, like you said, shut up. I'm doing something here. Be quiet. So that's pretty cool. Hey, I wanted to mention real quick, R2-D2 Come Home was the name of the episode that we're talking about. Season 2. Wow, way back in Season 2. I didn't realize it was that long ago. But yeah, Season 2 is the one we're talking about. Definitely honorable mention about R2-D2 there. Great episode featuring R2. Hey, let's go to... Hey, we're on the OT now. We're on the OT, Chris. And New Hope. See what you guys think of my next selection here. Here we go.
Fire, coming in, point three. I'm hit. I can't stay with you.
Get clear, Wet. You can't do any more good back there.
Sorry.
Let him go. Stay on the lead.
Hurry, Luke. They're coming in much faster this time. We can't hold them.
R2 trying to increase the power.
Hurry up, Luke. Wait!
Hang on, R2.
Thank you.
R2.
The Death Star has cleared the planet. The Death Star has cleared the planet.
One of my favorite moments from R2-D2, and probably one of the most heroic moments for me, Chris, and Jesse, is him as the co-pilot of a young Jedi Luke Skywalker as he goes through the trench with his dad behind him, almost ready, you know, obviously trying to get rid of him and kill him. And he does so much in this, and we don't even realize that. I mean, he's, like I said, he's Luke's co-pilot. He's back there, you know, doing the things. He's asking for more power, and R2's giving him more juice, you know, to get through this thing, to get through this trench without these, without the Sith, his dad behind him. And then the ultimate sacrifice that R2 makes as he gets blasted by Darth Vader. And, you know, if R2 wasn't there, that thing would have went right through and probably hit Luke right in the back of the head. So R2 taking a bullet for his best bud, Luke, now. So, yeah, that's one of my favorite things in New Hope. And for all the trilogy, matter of fact, is him and that fantastic trench run. Hey, Jesse, you got to go real quick, so you want to give your last couple of ones before you take off?
Yeah, actually, the missus made reservations for us, so I'm going to go through these real quick.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
So, okay, like everything's original trilogy still. We're going to go with New Hope, where R2's being stubborn and he doesn't want to play the message.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
3PO tells him, yeah, you know what? I don't like, he doesn't like you either. Neither do I. And R2 is just like, oh, what? Come on. You hear this like, oh man, what did I do it again? And then my last one is in Empire, where R2's just hanging out with Luke in Dagobah, and Yoda's rummaging through all the Luke stuff, and Yoda sees his little lantern or something. R2 just grabs it and he's like, nah, man, this is my friend's. This is ours. You can't have it. You know, Yoda's just beating him on the head, and all of a sudden Luke's like, hey, just let him have it. And just like what you said, kind of like a pet or a dog, just like release right away.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think I wanted to make a quick comment on R2. I think maybe before he got his memory lost, I mean erased, I'm sorry. I think he probably saved the memory of Anakin. So when he met Luke, he was fond with Anakin. So maybe when he met Luke, he just like, wow, you know, this friendship again. He treats me so right. You know, it's like buddy. So that's where I was kind of going to tell you too. But unfortunately, I have to leave now. But yeah, those
hey,
are
no
my
problem. Life. No, no problem. Good stuff, man. We loved your insights on R2 and some of the news. It's good to have you back. It's been a while. So, man, next time, we'll try not to make it so long. So,
No problem.
Yeah,
no, thank you for waiting for me, guys. I mean, I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. You go have a good dinner, man. We'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. And, of course, I'll be texting Chris soon about some crazy ghost stuff. So.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, brother.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Chris, we're on to you, man. Let's go to you now. We're on to New Hope, man. Let's see where you're going.
Two short scenes together.
Okay.
Go that way. You'll be malfunctioning within a day, you nearsighted scrap pile. And don't let me catch you following me, begging for help, because you won't get it. No more adventures. I'm not going that way.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. More. Oh, jeez. Love it.
You know, I just, those two little pieces is parts of how he talked. I love that how what he doesn't really get his way with 3PO, and 3PO walks off, so he just kind of like a toddler or whatever, yelling back at him. But it just cracks me up when he finally's like, oh, okay, I'll go this way, that he just
yeah.
Just, he's humming to himself. And then I just love that part so much that when the Jawas come up and shoot him, and I mean, I can't even feel sorry for him because I just find it so humorous that it locks him all up and then he just falls over and just this big thud.
Oh, yeah. And these two, I'm glad you played these because these two clips probably best show the emotions in the sound effects that they did. And credit to Ben Burtt for coming up with this. I don't know if this is something that Lucas and him worked out, but just like, you don't even need any type of subtitle or anything like that to go with this. I mean, the emotions that they were able to convey through the sound effects were unbelievable. I mean, you feel his pain when he's screaming. I mean, you know what he's going through. You're like, well, holy, he just got shot. You know, he's screaming. And then the whining and the calling to C-3PO, like, hey, you know, where are you going? You know, and just the way they do it, this is a perfect example of how they were able to get the emotions from R2-D2 out of him. So that was good stuff. Empire Strikes Back. We're going to Empire now for our last two. Let's go with this particular scene. See if you recognize this.
Why didn't we just go into light speed? We can't. How would you know the hyperdrive is deactivated? The city's central computer told you. R2-D2, you know better than to trust a strange computer. Ouch! Pay attention to what you're doing!
Alert all commands. Ready for the tractor beam.
R2, come back at once. You haven't finished with me yet. You don't know how to fix the hyperdrive. Chewbacca can do it. I'm standing here in pieces, and you're having delusions of grandeur. You did it!
Yes. R2-D2 saves the day again in The Empire Strikes Back. And in the movie, Chris, that everybody knows that it's kind of one of those movies that ends on a downer. It's the middle act. It's the one that makes you go, wow. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff going on and almost ends on sort of a bad note. But there is this particular scene that kind of gives you some, again, a little more levity there, some comedy in intermixed with some drama. And they were able to escape because R2 was able to override what they did on what the Empire did to the Millennium Falcon and get him out of there. And save the day once again. Of course, and Luke's on board. You know, I mean, this could have been really bad with Luke and Leia on board. And if that tractor beam was able to suck those guys in, and which, you know, who knows what would have happened. But again, R2-D2 was very, very well versed in the mechanics of ships and was able to get the Millennium Falcon out into light speed. So that is my favorite R2 moment from The Empire Strikes Back.
Love it. Love it. That was it was between that and something else, so I kind of went with the other. So that's
good. Okay. All right.
Since I'm going to go with Return of the Jedi first.
Okay.
Because my Empire moment is my absolute favorite, so I'm just going to...
Gotcha.
41 seconds. R2-D2, I don't want to say saving the day, but he definitely gets it going. He kicks off this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Without him, it makes you wonder if Luke hadn't have been able to put the lightsaber into R2, how in the world would they have been able to get out of there?
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you played that one because that is my favorite scene of Return of the Jedi. You know what? A lot's going on. One of the fantastic scenes from Return of the Jedi opens up with a great battle over the Sarlacc pit, and it all starts with R2-D2, and he's able to, you know, make his way to the end of the to the barge there and set himself up. But you know what? It was funny. I watched this the other day and I was checking it out. And if you'll notice in this scene, Boba Fett is there as R2 rolls by and sets up into position. And he actually turns and looks and he sees R2 and he kind of walks away. And in a fact that I think Boba Fett knew that something was going to happen. Now, we're talking about, you know, gangsters and being out on Tatooine by a Sarlacc. And, you know, maybe that's common practice for bounty hunters to always be on edge and to be ready, because you saw that Boba Fett was pretty ready to go when the action kicked off. But if you'll notice, when you watch it again, notice Boba Fett. He kind of looks over and he notices something. And almost, to me, it looks like he's kind of zeroing in R2, like, well, where's this little droid going? What's he doing? You know, shouldn't he be serving drinks? He's got his plate's gone and he's rolling out towards the end of the thing here. So I like that part of the movie. And of course, the expert marksmanship of R2 to be able to shoot this thing directly to Luke, who's on the platform, and he bounces up and over. A perfect shot, all set up by that scene we got in the Blu-ray, the extra scene where we see him working on the on the lightsaber before, and R2 sitting there with him before he puts the lightsaber in R2. But yeah, my favorite scene of R2 saving the day once again in Return of the Jedi. Chris, I'm right on board with you. We're pretty close on a lot of ours today.
Yeah, we are. And now I get to my number one. It's my absolute favorite. Anybody just listen to the show will probably know this.
We're not interested in the hyperdrive on the Millennium Falcon in space. Just open the door, you stupid lump! I never doubted you for a second. Wonderful!
Yes. To me, we're still on board. Yeah.
Like you say, with that other scene, it's just like, all right, he's got to save everybody's butt. He gets the door open. He knows about the hyperdrive from the computer. And I remember seeing this, and I'm just like, oh, that is so awesome that he's blowing out all this smoke. I'm like, this kid does, he's just prepared for anything. And they get away, and then he starts working on our 3PO. And then when you get to the point where you play, he's like, wait a minute, stop. I got to go rescue everybody again.
Yeah.
The hyperdrive going. So, I mean, it's just like, where would they have been? Because they were in so over their head at this point.
Oh, yeah. That, yeah.
Just scraping, just trying to get out. And I've said it before, this particular sequence coming through all of this and getting to that door, getting the door open, that was kind of a finale for me emotionally. Mm-hmm. Because you have such a relief when that door comes open. It's like, oh, fine, yes, they can get away. You know, because as kids, it wasn't guaranteed that everybody's going to get away. We didn't know.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know, you look at the kids that go and watch 1, 2, and 3 now and then go to, they probably wouldn't get the same effect mm-hmm. as we saw it. So
right, right.
It's just my absolute favorite moment when it comes to R2. I mean, heroics and the humor between him and 3PO in that particular scene mm-hmm. to kind of things up a little bit.
Right. Yeah, hopefully you guys agree that it's obviously an impressive resume of R2, and his heroic acts indeed qualify him as the Star Wars universe's David to the Empire's Goliath. And you know what? There's so many other things. I mean, he attended the wedding of Anakin and Padme. He assisted in the rescue of Palpatine. He took the message to Obi-Wan. There's just so many. He witnessed the death of Obi-Wan Kenobi. He fought in the Battle of Yavin. He trained with Luke on Dagobah. You know, he was there for that. Tons of stuff, this guy. When you start to think about all the stuff he was involved with, even though not sent, you know, he was always in the background. He was always right there. So just a really impressive resume. But, of course, there is times where he has kind of showed a couple of faults. You know, there was Attack of the Clones where he kind of missed out on the Coens there. They kind of snuck in on him, and he wasn't able to identify the centipede creatures, you know, when before they attacked Padme. So there is, you know, he is a robot after all, a little bit. You know, he does have a mistake here and there in the saga. But all in all, an impressive resume nonetheless. So hopefully you guys agree. And, you know, if you guys have any favorite R2 moments, you know, we should probably even talk to Jason in the Wampa's Lair. I mean, R2 is one of his favorite characters. But, yeah, if you guys have any favorite moments or anything, any questions or any things that make you go home to, don't forget to go over to Galactic Binder or the Facebook page. Hit the SpeakPipe app and just send us a quick message. We would love to hear from you, and we'll play it on the show. Chris, anything else going on before we kind of wrapped it up pretty quick here today?
Yeah, I think we have nothing really new other than what we've discussed. Our Facebook.com/Sarlacc Pit Podcast, and then our other classic Star Wars page, modern Star Wars page, Lego Star Wars style, you know, all those various pages on Twitter at Sarlacc Pit Cast. And then at Classic Star Wars, and I'm on them every single day on Facebook doing stuff. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yep. Just post up stuff on the page. Send us emails that way, or send us email at podcast@galacticbinder.com. Anything you want, and yeah, we're welcome to any of the any comments or criticism or constructive criticism you might have. And you know, hey, we might play. Especially if you leave messages, we might play those on the show, and possibly emails too. So
definitely, yeah, don't hesitate. So that's gonna do it, man. For this episode, we talked about some R2 and a bunch of other rumors and news, and we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. See if we get some more rumors or some more confirmed stuff. Man, I can't believe, Chris, we're almost in September now, and still nothing really big has hit yet. So we'll see what happens in the next few weeks in the Star Wars universe. So for Chris and for Jesse, my name is Matt. Thank you for joining us and making us part of your Star Wars day. We will see you guys next time in the Sarlacc Pit. You know, Chris, we forgot, man, he was in the Dagobah swamp, man. He was in the garbage compactor. He saved those guys. I forgot all that stuff, man. There's so many good things.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com.